For messages over distances, one uses on the higher stages most of thought projection, a kind of wireless telegraphy, built on the same principle as this, on harmony to harmony, but this of spiritual nature between sender and receiver. To a friend one sends thus only one's thought, mind, which he or she easily reads. In other cases, of course, even here is a kind of post, telegraph and telephone. Compare William Stead's ability to write messages from friends living on Earth, residing many miles distant from him. OB, they also have their private communication wires to those with whom are in constant touch. A guardian spirit, for example, which has to monitor his protege on Earth, does not always follow him close. He may have his home in a higher sphere, but is connected with his protege through an astral thread, by which he receives the impression of his thoughts and intent and can give him impetus for his action. He finds his presence needful, he can easily and quickly move down to Earth. As we see, the astral world inhabitants have to rejoice infinitely easier means of transport. As an earthly idea, it may sound as an odd little fable, when talking about these almost thought-rapid movements, especially in the vertical direction, but we may remember that the physical incarnation largely limit the human understanding. He or she can hardly make a concept about it for the astral specific characteristics, and it includes, among other things, the immense light transport and communications between the different spheres. Only after he or she self had tried this themselves, it would be completely natural. Spheres lighting conditions. We know that the astral realms, even in equatorial countries, where they lie in seven layers over the other, for the earthly eye, would obscure outer space. This is quite natural of the reasons that the astral world's atoms, as above told, is swinging with a vibration speed, which is not making the slightest impression on the earthly eye, as they are in the physical sense of sight, absolutely invisible. But how will this be to an astral man in one of the lower realms, who himself dressed in a body of the same astral density as the realm he inhabits and to the sense organs that perceives the astral matter? He feels them just as solid as the earth humans perceive their world as dense, hard. Yes, if there were overlying spheres, where all was of the same astral density, frequency, they would certainly be seen as an opaque dark blanket over the greater part of the underlying sphere. This, however, is not the fact, due thereon to the density of the astral matter, from which the various spheres are constructed, very significantly vary. It is greatest in the first sphere, decrease for each overlying sphere and is least in the seventh sphere. Thus, if it is the same kind of matter, it has such different densities, so the same astral eye can perceive a part, its own sphere, as solid and opaque, but another parts, a higher sphere, as transparent. Haven't we examples of the same density conditions in the physical world? Water and air are the same kind of physical matter, such as granite, and yet they have such different density, so to the earthly senses, the granite is hard and opaque, water makes little resistance and are nearly transparent, while the air is hardly perceptible to the senses. It should not then be something to the thought, inconceivable, how it is possible that overlying spheres of less frequency, density, not to any appreciable extent obscures the extraneous light. At its height to overhead spheres could, be thought to, appear as heavier or lighter clouds over the part of the underlying sphere, which covers thereof. The northernmost even as the southern zone, who both shoot a few degrees forward of the overlying sphere, are of course completely unveiled, from there you can freely look out into space. The higher up you go, the more developed also become sensory organs, so that the eye eventually get the ability to see right through astral matter, only it has a lower density than that of which the astral body is built. Although these conditions are the astral world so specific that the earthly comprehension is difficult to put into them. Lighting conditions in microspheres appear thus as follows. In the first sphere have both polar regions as the greater part of the temperate zones, full light, but in the equatorial regions towards the equator, there is a growing permanent twilight, as yet not making them uninhabitable. In the second sphere is the twilight of middle region already more lighter, and in the third, one can hardly speak of twilight, but equatorial belt is in shadow as of a light cloud veil. In all overlying spheres is everywhere full light, where you have no sense of the above-lying masking spheres. The sky is not always clear, why, it would mean a sad monotony. The beauty as the skies impart on the earthly landscapes, especially at sunset, the astral spheres have even more to offer, but these cloud formations have the same cause on Earth. The light source for spheres is just as on Earth, in the first place the sun, however, we must not we make it so, that it would be the sun with the same kind of the physical rays enlighten both the astral and the physical world. The sun, seen from Earth, has in fact also the astral shells, and these emits a peculiar kind of rays, or rather vibration, which of the astral eye is perceived as light. The astral sun therefore appears to be slightly larger than the physical. The same ratio is also about the light emanating from the fixed stars. With the moon the situation is somewhat different. The moon, who sprinkles his magical glow over the earth nights, seems barely on the astral plane, because the astral body is shrunk within the physical shell and obscured by it, and is therefore not in the same degree able to reflect sunlight. This situation on, of the moon seen as an archaic character. But, as before, already stated, there is also a purely astral moon, which had once been physical. This does not appear from the earth, but its lights reflected astral light of our nights. Time feeling, division. With the light things is also related to the question of the time's division / classification, subdivision of the astral plane. You so often hear the speech, that in the spirit world, time and space does not exist. I would not speak about everything, which can be attributed under the term spirit world, for indeed exits it on its highest stages, circumstances of which we scarcely have any idea, and such events unknown to me. I speak only of the seven astral spheres which surround Earth. And regarding the conditions on them, I can confirm that as well as any of its inhabitants, can and must distinguish the place he or she is on, from where he is not, there must possess a concept of room, as well there are a conceptual world of a past, a present and an additional, i.e. a concept of time and consequently happenings. Well, notice that this is not the case of the subjective perception of the time length, an idea which, already on the physical plane, can be quite different, depending on the time elapsed during the grief and suffering, or joy and pleasure. And on the astral plane can such, take extremes, so that one man in his excruciating anxiety loses all control over the time and think of what is a few years, to be an eternity, while another one in her restless love service, finds a century to be like a short day. Here is the only question of the precise objective time measurement. Now when the astral spheres surround the earth, and follow her in her movements, as well around the sun, as around her own axis, it is quite natural, that we divide the time just like on earth in years and days, and that these time dimensions have the same length as with you. As we follow the earth's daily motion and get our light from the sun, we also have a variety of day and night, though our nights are never as long and as dark as their physical earth. Yes, in the higher spheres, the night is of very short duration and as bright as a faint dusk or dawn, depending on the diffuse light, that in the astral world plays an even greater role as on earth. Then on the astral sphere's polar axis coincides with the earth's axis and thus have the same inclination to the ecliptic, it follows that we also have a variety, corresponding earth seasons, although the difference between summer and winter is not so marked as in the physical world and also decreases in the higher spheres, which, course is also quite natural, since the higher spheres are only narrow equatorial belts. An earth man, which at its transition to the astral plane will fx come to the sixth sphere, may therefore easily imagine that in her, his new homeland, scarcely any change between day and night or between seasons may be and but portrays everything as an eternal spring. Whereas the one who ends up in the first sphere, can complain about constant twilight without a ray sun, as told in the first part of book A Wanderer in the Spirit Lands, of Francesco. So the various data on conditions in the spirit world could thus be both true and so by purely natural grounds. Animal world on the astral plane. Before turning to the portrayal of life in the spheres, I want to give some few words about the animals here in our world. Perhaps I hereby immediately meet a reader with the suspicious question, are there also animals in the other worlds? They are surely not immortal, as man? Yes, indeed they are so. The wisdom and hunch, the affection and fidelity, the touching maternal tenderness as, for instance, dogs, had but so purely psychic/soul characteristics, as it would be foolish to deny this soul characteristics/attributes from our faithful friends. Only the narrow-minded types, those true childs of arrogance and stupidity, can be so inconsistent that for them to claim the life after death, but will judge his faithful dog to eternal annihilation. Has he any heart in the body, he shall at his entry into our world become pleasantly surprised, when his dumb friend, here welcomes him with high joy jumps. Such a reunion between master and dog to the mutual joy is not uncommon here. It is also natural and logical that the intelligence that manifests itself in a higher animal must be the same as immortal as that which distinguishes humans. But if the dog has an immortal soul, must surely also other animals have such, where else would the line be drawn? Our time's idolized science has with a certain pride emphasized its discovery, that matter is indestructible and hence eternal. You also get to hear from the scientists, admitting that life has a certain continuity, that it is in a sense, indestructible. Next discovered, and it is not so far, shall be, that everything in nature live in various stages of development, and that this life is just as indestructible, just as eternal as matter. And that the source of this life is the spirit of nature, God, who lives and manifests in all his work. We are all his children, but at different ages. The plant is a younger brother of the animal, and the animal is a younger brother to man, and man is a younger brother of the angels. If we in foolishly pride, do not want to acknowledge our kinship with our younger brothers, so we also need to be consistent, renounce any kinship with the angels, so much the worse for us. But whether it be or is, human theories and beliefs are plenty, and it is a fact that our world, the spirit world, as you earth people are little improper to call it, takes a rich fauna of the same types as on earth, but with the restriction that the wild predators missing in those spheres. They have their domicile elsewhere. As for the spheres inside builders, the astral man is the immortal part of the earth man, since she has slung away her mortal physical garment. There are also the astral world's animals, to be nothing but the imperishable part of earth's animals, then those in the death process deprived of his physical body. Astral man consists of spirit and soul, whom the latter is the astral body, where spirit manifests on the astral plane. Astral animals consists of only the soul, it has not yet received the spirit. Therefore, the astral world is the animal heaven, it cannot come higher. But even in the animal world, there is a diversity of development levels, represented by an infinite variety of different types. The lower animals, which have not yet reached the development, where they take individual existence, belongs here, just as on earth, any for the same genus common group soul, which manifests itself in a variety of numbers. The higher developed animals, however, are individually an individual, who, after his earthly death, survives on the astral plane with the individual soul. Life up here is for the animal as well as for man a rest time, until both one and the second have to incarnate on earth. Specially a pet, as in so many cases suffered during humanness harsh, sometimes cruel treatment, here in our world, to get compensation for the sufferings endured. And so are the object of the most tender care. Often is a life in the service of man, also the last, that it is animal, such require to be on earth. So are the animal development progressing, since it exceeded the threshold of individuality through a series of earthly life, until it is ready to receive the last stage, which transforms the animal to human. Before that, however, on a different planet, it will undergo a special training, which I am not able to describe in detail. Thus equipped, it at last gets the spirit, and is born for the first time as a human being on Earth. At that stage of development, as the animals find themselves here in the astral world, they have no other task than to enjoy life and receive good impulses, at the same time as they delight people and contribute to bestow life and beauty to nature. The animal on the astral plane is man's friend and servant, but never his, her slave, let alone her sacrifice. No one overexerts their friends there. Animals never kills an animal to eat its meat. And the animals themselves ingest none other. People and animals are vegetarians here. The astral animal may also not be killed by mortal concepts, and like the astral man disappears here, because being reborn to the earth, and come back here when it dies on physical earth. Here animals thus do not need to reproduce, that do belong to the earth. The mammals do not give birth to kids and do not need to give milk, no birds lay eggs. But nevertheless, there is a rich wildlife, seas and lakes teeming of fish, and forests of wildlife. Trees and parks echo of bird songs, and the pets are good friends to the people. Then, could anyone ask the reason why the cruel predators are excluded from the spheres, and where they take the road, when they die on Earth? They are excluded for not having their wild and predatory habits disturbing the peace and rest of the spheres. Perhaps also because they would not be able to feed themselves by the plant food they only find here, because the animals here needs food just as on Earth. They have another refuge, of which I cannot provide more detailed information. A place that better suits them and from which they again descend to physical earth, some still like predators, others, who on this plane are allowed to be tame, to such animals of a pious nature. It would take me too far in this little essay to include the question why some animals need to be wild and bloodthirsty, while others are pious and harmless. Only so much do I want, in this context, to emphasize that even by the animals, there are a willingness to be faced with a choice. No one is forced to be born as a predator, but they, who from the start are turned in such a direction, are drawn irresistibly to a group soul, which have the nature of the predator prevailing. They could be converted already as animals, but they could also persist in the nature of the predators, and with these tendencies, go into the human world, where they are able to develop much power and intelligence, but where they can do much evil, before they learn to bend. There is not in all creation somewhat whimsical selection from a higher authority, where some are life seeds for good, others for evil. Even at the lowest stages of development, is given to each one, by his higher aspects, the freedom to choose. And during the course of evolution, one small lifesmanade can through free choice, turn into the life form that best suits him. And always under lovingly caring from some high spirit, who indulged in this work, because each species, each group soul, has a supreme leader, one angel. If people knew in which close relationship they are to the animals, and how they are jointly responsible to the great task of raising the lower creation, yes, how they someday will be judged for how they turned and did this task, then they would with more tenderness nurture about their dumb friends. Free life in the spheres, if a creature that has never been on Earth would ask to get a sketch of the conditions on this planet, and this would first be given him by an Eskimo, and then, for example, by a highly educated Frenchman, these books would become from another so different, that the requester perhaps felt compelled to wonder who of those had lied, or whether the two had gone with falsehood. In the same position, is the Earth human to the astral world. They have certainly been there, but the memory of it is completely obliterated from the day/normal awakened consciousness. He asks and get an answer first from one direction, and so from another, but the data seem to stand in clear contradiction with each other. What will he or she think? May he that to be remembered, though, that the astral world offers even more varied conditions than the earth, and that therefore different stories may to be true. even if they are in seemingly essential elements to differ from each other. A major difficulty in the portrayal of extraterrestrial/other levels conditions are also what the language is causing, which are just adapted to what belongs the Earth. While it is true that the astral world in a certain sense are so similar to the physical world, that hardly anything exists in the latter, which does not have its counterpart, or rather the original, archetype in the astral, it is on the other hand no less true that the two worlds are so different from each other that they strictly can be compared. Yes, the astral world cannot through earthly language be fully comprehensive depicted, because the language lacks expression of so many conditions that for the astral world are special, peculiar. Thus, if the subsequent descriptions would be said that they are all too tangible, then such a statement is to some extent justified. But, be it noted, the reason for this is found in restrictions of the language. When the astral conditions must be interpreted in an earthly language, and something else is the not possible, available, so must the interpretations in the sense not be other than deficient. This although the narrator's subjective perception, and even his temperament plays a major role in his portrayal. We know how on Earth, in mortality, the mood plays a big part into the human perception of external conditions. Joy and peace spread the glory of even a bleak sky, whereas sadness and anxiety may darken even a sunny day. This is even more the case on the astral plane, whose matter is very formable to the spiritual impulses. Even if it is also the truth that nature here is something quite objectively, as our world also has its mountains and forests, its lakes and rivers, valleys and plains, it is perceived quite different by the many individuals, and it is therefore some truth in the claim, which can often be heard, that man on the astral plane creates his, her own environment. Especially is this case with the unfortunates who agonize over a sense of guilt and afflicted of evil conscience, and from these bad, inner that here also become external, images, for those they become tangible realities. Very introspective, contemplative natures immerse themselves often so in themselves, that for them the whole external world almost disappears. And you may therefore not infrequently from the world hear the opinion that the spirit world not possess any real reality but only a condition, a state of mind apostrophe. Even such a testimony can have a part truth, equally to those entitled, that I am here to present. I've wanted to make or present these recollections to the extent possible, to prevent the mistrust and misconceptions that so easily creep in the study of such topics. Hell's fear. We will now, if also quite volatile, make a visit to the various spheres that surrounds the Earth, and study conditions on their surface. But before we begin our journey through these worlds, we must, in order to get a good overview of the various living conditions which meet the people after death, first take a look at the purifying realms, where mankind's most wayward creatures are initially stored, or thought prisoned. Just as the wilder predators at death are separated from other animals and meet a different world than their higher spheres, to which not raise concerns/problems/disturbance, so are also the coarser criminals moved to another place, more suitable for them, where in one form or another, they have to face the consequences of their actions, crimes. With crimes, I do not only mean those who sinned against human law, but also those who knowingly sinned against the higher laws of life, the love, truth and righteousness. This despite whether they, in quotation marks, in the world's eyes lived an impeccable life or already on earth was affected by the legal arm. These are still too evil to stay in higher spheres, where they would never come to any remorse. They would just do much interfering with the peaceful development which there must be conducted. Where this place is located, I cannot tell here. It belongs not, however, to the seven earth spheres. Its location is also of subordinate meaning. It is how life there unfolds or takes shape, which is of interest to study. It is not by an external act of judgment that the unfortunates are led to this goddess cleaning sphere/level/world, but they condemn themselves, They are pulled there by their own inner evil, and where through wailing and anguish, is having a grim existence, until they in true repentance, will bend their knees. Then the conscience repentance has filled its mission, the disastrous one melts and shouts, "Father forgive me, I am a poor, sinful one." And at the same time, the anxiety is released, and a bright figure, the guardian spirit, who watched over the wayward, come forward and leads their minions across the border to another and better world. Nothing is eternal hell. In the deepest part of hell, reigns an almost impenetrable darkness, only occasionally scattered by intersecting lightning, which, however, is not accompanied by a rolling thunder. The silence is horrible and oppressive. It is broken only by the groans, cries and wailing cries that like cuts through the air. Misery is terrible, no one cares about the other. Each one just wants to shout out his own anguish, but scorn is the consolation the others give him. There are burning hot areas, where the air is thick as of sulfur smoke, slippery ground of solidified blood and the atmosphere poisoned by fetid gases, and not one drop of water for the unfortunate who find them perishing of thirst. There are marsh areas, in whose quagmire the miserable crawl around without any support to hold on to. They rise and fall, they strive with their utmost forces, but cannot come up. There are areas where the cold is unbearable, and where the unfortunates, who scarcely have clothes to cover themselves with, feel themselves freezing to ice. There are caves inside the mountains, real prison rooms, with bare damp rock faces, where the poor is imprisoned, not out of the external jail, but by his own terrible inner pains and walls. There are also castles and palaces, even entire cities, a Rome, a Venice, for example, which are reflections of the corresponding structures of the earth, where for centuries serious crimes have been committed and are now inhabited by those who committed these crimes. For them it is a constant pain and, therefore, a call to repentance, to live in these surroundings that still remind them of their misdeeds. But how do they look, these ancient palaces, crumbled ruins, where the marble stairs are sullied with blackened blood, the walls covered with a slimy stinking humidity and the overdue staterooms the haunt of loathsome reptiles? Comma those willing to take a closer look at this, and study the situation in hell's spheres, recommend to study, particularly the Intermenii Diff. Languages, translated book A Wanderer in the Spirit Lands, of Francesco. O. B. No link of same, but what are these excruciating external conditions, which are in fact only reflections, though real enough, of the internal state, what do they mean compared to the agony they represent? Where those poor unfortunates, are sitting in silence with the entire mind alert and all the nerves tense and see how the passing life like a living movie. See the many lives slowly go by, as living pictures. Crimes and misdeeds, which they thought would never come to light, come forward and grinning against her perpetrators and require to become indemnified. Soon the scenery shifts and other paintings are rolled up, to show how life might have unfolded if the unfortunate had used his, her opportunities and said no to the temptation. Then grows the anxiety, the agony becomes unbearable/insufferable. No verdict of the society else could have him overthrown in this misery. It is he himself, who judged and judge himself, and it is he himself, who once again will be able to come and save himself, through a true and sincere repentance. From deep inside, heart weeping, and nothing else, can release him from this place of torment. Time after time, bright messengers from higher spheres, comes to preach penance and call for humble submission, but usually they are talking to deaf ears. Only those who have suffered, in quotation marks, enough, as into exhaustion of agony state, are ripe to take the saving hand, which is reached out to him in this dark resident. Again this is shown in the first part of the video production Nosso Lar, Astral City, link to video, also on that site. Rorum. In other districts of the Hell Realm, is the darkness not so intense, but a deep twilight is oppressive heavy over the landscape. This part can be likened to a desert. Not a tree, not a bush, not a blade of grass, only sand, fine, easily moving sand. No roads, no communications, you wade in sand. Whirlpool storms, tornadoes rage and tear up whole mountains of sand, just sand. It is a must for the unfortunates to seek protection for themselves, lest they will be buried in the sandstorm.